Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Ice in the Arctic and Antarctic is still and motionless. It's majestic, floating, as massive icebergs slowly melt until...
Whoa! Fallen! We're almost fallen!
It's the sound of icebergs breaking off of glaciers in Alaska to the amazement of people with cameras on ships nearby. The transition from ethereal beauty to explosive violence. This suddenness. Ice mountains done in by their majesty and the physics of melting ice. A conversation now on what it's like to spend many days near such a grand, unstable feature of the climate. With the polar ice melting like never before, scientists say due to climate change, there's a poignancy to each vanishing iceberg, even if there are still plenty to replace them. But for iceberg and storm photographer Camille Seaman, there is a deep tragedy in every image, and for her, a love story in her impulse to press the shutter of her camera.
Part of it is definitely to do with my native heritage, being a Shinnecock, and being raised knowing that everything is interconnected, that we're not separate from nature. But when I saw my first iceberg, it was confirmed. It was really an understanding of everything that my grandparents had taught me.
You know, one of the things that's amazing about your photos is that you, even though they're static images, you really convey this sense of an iceberg is a process. It's solid water in seawater. It's solid becoming liquid. It's happening in a beautiful way. And yet for you, it's also sad.
Well, I mean, change for humans, really, it's one of the most inevitable things, but it's always so difficult for us. And there is something sad, particularly about an iceberg, because literally it has spent sometimes not just thousands of years, but hundreds of thousands of years as part of a glacier, moving slowly down, let's say in the case of Antarctica, towards the sea, many, many thousands of years. And then one day, it gets to the edge, it breaks off, it becomes an iceberg floating in the sea, and it starts a process of sort of reintegration into a more fluid state, literally. So as it melts, it's releasing all of those nutrients that it captured hundreds of thousands, if not thousands of years ago, and it's just part of the cycle. So it's sad to see those transitory states. And it's only an iceberg for a few years compared to it being part of a glacier for thousands of years.
You know, your photos completely personify these icebergs. And, you know, given that lifespan where they're, you know, tens of thousands of years in a glacier or wherever they end up in the polar ice, and then they chunk off into the sea, I mean, you can just sort of feel this collective kind of planetary, uh-oh, what the heck happened?
Well, it's not even just a what the heck happened. It's just knowing that this is part of a process that is so much larger than we can really comprehend. I think as humans really fail to understand the scale of time and history involved in creating an iceberg, let alone its effect in releasing all of that fresh water back into the sea.
As a photographer, how do you convey this? I mean, I guess you have to use a wide-angle lens. You know, show me a relationship with an iceberg that you've had as a photographer.
Probably one of the best stories that illustrates my really emotional response to an iceberg was the very first ones that I ever saw, which was in 2004 in the Weddell Sea of Antarctica. And I was on a tiny Norwegian icebreaker called Polar Star. And we were going through these canyons of icebergs called an iceberg alley. And these icebergs were to the left and right of us, standing 200 feet out of the water with another 800 to 1,000 feet of ice below us. And I kid you not, they were the size of city buildings. And we're going through them. Some had their own waterfalls. And I remember shaking, literally physically shaking, not just because I was cold, but because I thought how many years was this in the making, one snowflake on top of another snowflake, year after year. And here it was in front of me. It was just so overwhelming. And to know that this was here on my planet, I wasn't on some Star Wars planet. It was right here.
And when you saw these things move, when you saw them broke off, when you circled some of these sorts of things, what colors did you see? What shapes did you see?
I was quite fortunate in that we had overcast skies. And when it's overcast skies, you really get to see all the subtlety, not just of the color, but all of the lines, all the layers of time. And some of them were really bright indigo blues. Other were pale baby blues. I mean, there was every shade of blue within these icebergs, all the way to white. And just really thinking about that, looking at those colors, they're such spectacular creatures. And each one of them was so unique from each other. They were just like humans in that we each had our own personality and our own distinct way of behaving.
No two snowflakes alike and no two icebergs alike. And on the planetary scale, an iceberg is, you know, kind of a snowflake in the scheme of things, as huge as it is.
That's absolutely correct.
I mean, that's really scary all the way around. Now you've had a similar relationship with storms, observing those as a photographer. And there, the issue isn't so much serenity as it is powerful energy gathered in one place.
That's true. I was drawn to storm chasing out of curiosity. And these storms were particularly interesting to me because they are so powerful. And I was after just one particular type of storm called a supercell. And those are the clouds that generate tornadoes. I really was blown away by their almost primal power, really primal. This was creation power. And it was coincidence maybe, or I don't know, serendipity, but I'm photographing ice. Solid water. I'm photographing clouds, vapor water. I'm just photographing different parts of water.
Next stop, maybe the middle of the drought for your camera?
Well, it's funny. A lot of my friends were saying, why aren't you up photographing the fires that are happening in Northern California? Or why didn't I rush to photograph the hurricane down towards Louisiana? And, you know, the thing is, I don't want my work to be necessarily about destruction. I feel that the way to touch people is through beauty. And so I know that some people are frightened by the storm images that I make, and even some of the ice images. They can be quite overwhelming. But if you feel something, we can start a dialogue. You can start your own personal dialogue.
Well, Camille, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Camille Seaman is a photographer whose work has been recently featured in the New York Times Lens blog. Her work on photographing storms and photographing icebergs is something you can see at thetakeaway.org.